Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. Welcome to episode 251 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Yeah, I'm back, and I know it's been a while. It's been a couple of weeks. I've been busy. As most of you know, I was in Saudi Arabia the last weekend of June, which was very interesting, and I'll talk about that. But also, I've done a couple other podcasts. You know, I got this new podcast I'm part of called Fear Not. It's with Barry Glassner, and we talk about what people are afraid of versus what they should be afraid of. And I just did a great podcast. It's up on my Facebook page. It's called Story Worthy with Christine Blackburn. And in that one, I talked about Saudi Arabia and what went on and how the gig was and so on. But the travel has been insane. So going from the last weekend of June to the 4th of July, just to give you an example of that week, Saturday, I flew to Saudi Arabia. I was in Saudi Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, flew back to LA Wednesday, flew to Orlando Friday, and back home from Orlando Sunday. So in 8 days, I did LA, Saudi, LA, Orlando, LA. Bit tiring. And for the past week, I've been in Vegas, which is great. I just worked the Kimmel Comedy Club, which is a lot of fun. But anyway, so that's where I've been. That's what I've been doing. I've been busy. Saudi Arabia, it was great. It was interesting. We didn't know what to expect. I went with Jamie Kennedy, old buddy, hilarious comic. You know Jamie Kennedy from all those crazy movies he was doing in the 90s and early 2000s. We had no idea what to expect. There were rules. It was no politics, no religion, no cursing, no talking about sex or drugs or alcohol. So I did a lot of crowd work. It kind of eliminated a lot of my act. The people were very nice. The culture, comedy is totally new to them, totally new. Saudi is slowly opening up to the West. As many of you know, women were allowed to drive last year. That was a big deal. Movie theaters just opened this year. Also a big deal. We met some people. Well, I met Jamie Newham. They have a comedy club there, which is totally new. And they were saying, like, to go to the movies, you have to buy tickets months in advance, because just the experience of going to a movie theater, seeing a movie, is so new. We were part of a festival called Jeddah Season. So it's a 40-day festival in the city of Jeddah. You know, they have a lot of stuff for the kids. They have the Ferris wheels and the rides. They have different entertainment. They have people playing music in public, which they said was totally a new thing that's never been done. And we had a comedy tent, and it probably sat 500 people, and we'd be lucky if we got 75. Yes, the women still wear burkas. It's not a bad thing. It's, geez. I don't even know why. Sorry, my iPad's making noise. But anyway, it's culture. It's their culture. But, you know, my favorite moment was watching a kid play. Our hotel was across the street from this sort of beach boardwalk. And these families, they were feeding pigeons, and there were flocks of pigeons. And this kid was running through the pigeons. And, you know, what I find out, the more I travel, and I've said this before, the more you see people, the more you realize people are the same. Now, are there political problems in Saudi? Yes. The prince having the reporter killed, the weapons that Trump is trying to sell him, the possible war with Iran, and who knows what secret shit is going on over there. I get that. This wasn't about that. This was about showing the people who we are and what we do and how we have fun. I think it makes a difference for people to see people, you know, for people to see culture versus what we're fed versus what we're told. Now, listen, businessmen are businessmen. There's a lot of Western businesses there, some good, some bad, you know. Corporations don't give a shit. Corporations are in it to make money. But this was something that was, I think it was good. I think it was good because people got to laugh and they got to see something, a new form of entertainment, a different thing that they haven't seen before. Families were at the show, little kids, mothers would bring their kids. One of the things about Saudi is it's so hot that they don't go out during the day. They go out at night. So we're doing these shows at 9, 10, 11 at night, and the family's there. And you know, they go to the beach at night because it's so hot during the day. That was something. So, yeah, I joked with the families. I joked with the mothers about, you know, why are your kids out so late at night? I definitely did fish out of water jokes, not knowing what to expect. There were about, let's say if we had 75 people, 25 of them knew what we were doing, had been to a comedy show in the United States and so on, but the rest were just, you know, not sure or whatever. But they definitely appreciated and enjoyed it, and we got standing O's at the end. On the other hand, they canceled one show because no one bought tickets, so, which worked out good because we got to go to the old city of Jeddah that night, and they were having an Jeddah, the city, is one of the oldest cities on earth. It was a trading post way back when, and they had like an outdoor art thing going on there, and we got to walk around, and then we had this incredible meal, you know, one of those you sit down and they just keep bringing courses, and you know, Jamie and a couple other people were smoking the hookah and stuff, and I'm not a hookah guy, I don't smoke the hookah, but it was fun and it was interesting, and it's one more country I can add to my list and one more culture I got to see and share and make laughs. So that was that, and it was great. And again, I say it all the time, if you have the opportunity to travel, travel. It opens your mind. You get to see things. You get to see that people are people. You get to see other ways of life, try different foods, et cetera, et cetera. It was great. By the way, in Saudi, I saw a Victoria's Secret in the mall. Not sure how that works, but I guess under the burqas, things is getting hot. Okay, so I'm back home. Now, Trump's on another racist thing. You know, this is the thing. I'm not surprised. You're not surprised. The squad, who I love, these four led the squad. There are other Congress people involved, but it's led by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib. Young, progressive women in Congress, different ethnicities, new points of view, challenging the status quo, stepping it up. I love these women. These women are a progressive voice that we need. Now, when Trump goes racist and says, if you don't like me, go back where you came from. And by the way, all four of these women are Americans. They're U.S. citizens. So if they go back where they came from, they're going to go back to New York or Minnesota or Massachusetts or Michigan. But, you know, the point is, Trump is being Trump. This is what Trump does. Trump's a racist. He's appealing to his racist base, right? And there's no surprise here. It's, you know, the Republicans, why don't you condemn? They're not going to condemn him. They like the racism. They look at it with a wink and a nod. Comically, this is just hilarious to me. Meghan McCain from The View says that Trump's racist jabs make her job harder. Well, here's an idea. Don't support him. It's like, woo, you know, him being racist makes it really hard for me to come up with excuses for him being racist. What the fuck? What? Don't support him. Man, my job's getting hard. You know, it's harder every day to lie about him not being a racist with him saying all that. You look, I'm not surprised. It works. It works. It gets the wink and the nod from the Republican Party, from many Republican supporters. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Not all Republicans are racist, but all racists are Republican. You know it and I know it. But here's my problem. Nancy Pelosi attacking the squad. Nancy Pelosi saying, oh, they're just talking and they're on Twitter and they don't have a power bit. And what? This is why Trump will win the next election. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong in that statement. But Democrats fighting Democrats, Nancy Pelosi attacking the squad rather than embracing the squad, rather than talking to them about these progressive ideas of, about things like education and single-payer health care and green initiative. You know, the green initiative is a, make it a job creation thing. Stop making it bet. Show, hey, how many jobs is this going to create? These are the things that this is why the Democrats, you know, will lose, because they fight amongst themselves. I was on the Young Turks and I was wrong. They talked about this. This is, I don't know, month and a half ago. They talked about Pelosi and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And I said, no, we're creating a problem where there isn't one. I was wrong. There is one. And Pelosi is so wrong on this. Embrace the progressives. Listen to them. Bring young people to the party. Energize people. You know, this is how you lose. This is how you lose. And they're doing a great job. They're setting up a loss for next year. They're going to make it easy for Trump to walk in. I was reading an article about big money, and we're talking billionaire, multi-billionaire support Republicans who were anti-Trump in 2016, who are now pro-Trump. Well, of course they are. Trump did what he promised them. He lowered their taxes. He had that party in Mar-a-Lago. He said, we're all about to get much more rich, very rich, whatever it was. And it's true. So they, you know, they know he's a piece of shit, but it's like, hey, I ain't paying taxes. I'm happy to have him. The Democrats need to organize on that level. You need to put away this petty infighting. You need to support one another and get the White House. The Republicans, I've said it before, I'll say it again, they know how to win elections. There are a ton of Republicans that can't stand Donald Trump. They know he's an idiot. They know he's a buffoon. He's an embarrassment. He's, you know, an emotional child, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? They like doing business with no regulation. They like not paying taxes. They like taking advantage of the working class. So they vote. They support because they get what they want. The Democrats could learn from that. They won't. I was wrong. Jeffrey Epstein, billionaire. Speaking of billionaires, the billionaire pedophile looks like he's finally going to be held account, go to court, go to jail. Okay, you know, New York got him, which is great. And people are, oh, he's a friend of Trump. Well, guess what? It also seems he's a friend of Clinton, and Clinton went to the island. The island of pedophiles or whatever it was, I don't know. But I will say this, that if Clinton was part of it, then hang his ass out to dry, too. Listen, there's no party for pedophilia. There's no high ground. If you're involved, if you know that this guy's a pedophile, if you know this guy it is sexually molesting children, and let's stop with the underage woman phrase. Let's stop trying to clean this up. You know, I said it's like when they say the N-word. So-and-so said the N-word. So-and-so said nigger. All right, let's stop cleaning up people's behavior and making it seem like what it's not. These guys were fucking little girls, okay? They were not, you know, having sex with underage women. No, they're fucking little girls. They should be put in jail and put them in general population, because it seems Gen Pop in prison, they have a way of handling child molesters, and it seems to work. So that's where they should go. Acosta, the labor secretary who was the prosecutor in Florida, who let Epstein off before, had to resign from his job. Trump still defended Acosta even as he was resigning. Listen, these old men fucking young girls belong under a jail, under a jail. And let's go after and let's get them. Stop trying to make it anything less than the horrible shit it is. I don't care what party you are. I don't care whose friend you are. You know, R. Kelly's about to go on trial. I don't care what color you are. If you're fucking young girls, you should be under a prison. Or, like I said, just turned loose in Gen Pop. And as a friend of mine, an old buddy of mine, when his daughter started dating. I think she was about 15, 16. He said to her date, he said, whatever you do to her, I'm going to do to you. See, now that's a good deterrent. And I think that would be a good solution to these molesters. Yeah, whatever you did to those girls, we're about to do to you. Because we've been in prison and you're soft. I read a very interesting article. Now, reparations, okay, going into this issue, reparations for slavery, I don't believe that it's going to be monetary. I love what Kamala Harris said about, you know, the government helping black families buy homes. I believe in education, you know, paying for college educations, et cetera, et cetera. I don't believe it's going to happen, but I think it's a good issue to bring up. And white people say, well, I never owned a slave. You know, Mitch McConnell, well, they elected Barack Obama. What more do they want? Fuck off, McConnell, you turtle-headed son of a bitch. This is a thing, and this is what... So people don't understand how deep this goes, okay? One of the forms of wealth, one of the best forms, and one of the most common forms of wealth and inherited wealth is land. Families buy land, and I'm talking going back hundreds of years. Land, it is inherited, it is developed, it is built, value is built, it is shared amongst family members. You can take loans against it to build more, to buy more, et cetera, et cetera. Land is a huge asset, especially when it comes to building generational wealth. There were black landowners. After slavery, remember, they were supposed to get 40 acres and a mule, which didn't happen. There was a Confederate general who said when they lost, 400,000 acres should go to the freed slaves. It said there were many. And some of these families were able to buy land. Their land was stolen. One of the things about lynchings in the early 1900s, and I learned so much reading this article, and it really is a great article. And you know, I don't read the whole thing to you. I just tell you to look for it. Just Google Ayers property, okay? Find this information on HEIR, Ayers property. Well, so there were black landowners as freed slaves. They claimed land, they bought land, etc. They got the land, they were given land, they were working, that they, you know, they were freed now, etc. The lynchings in the early 1900s weren't just about you looked at a white woman or you raised your eyes. Some of it was to scare them away. They owned land. You know, if black people had a tract of land, an area that was black, white people, Klan, etc., would come in and tell them, get off this land. And there'd be a few lynchings and a few kill, and they'd scare them away. Well, it hasn't stopped. There are in South Carolina, North Carolina, there's coastal land that was owned by black families and inherited over the years, and it's all being taken away. It's all being stolen. Ayers property is something. They didn't have deeds. They didn't have titles. They certainly didn't have lawyers or knowledge of the legal system. So what they would do is just write down this thing. This land is to be divided. When I die, it goes to my heirs, to my sons and daughters, to their my grandchildren, et cetera, et cetera. And this is how it was done, because they didn't have all the legal documentation. Well, now in the more recent era, all this land is being stolen from them. There is, my internet is really sucking right now, so I can't find the names of these two brothers. But there are two brothers who have a tract of land in South Carolina. It's coastal land. Now, this family land goes back to a time, you know, during segregation, their coastal property was the only place black people could go to the beach, etc. Well, what has happened is developers have built around this, right? And this is one of the ways they steal the land. They push the value of the land up because they develop, they build, you know, resorts, et cetera, et cetera. It gets to a point where the black family owning the land can't pay the taxes anymore. One area, they raised property taxes 700% in a year. In a year, 700%, seven times as much property tax, because they knew these black families couldn't pay it, and then they just bought their land at an auction. They stole their land for, they bought their land for 1/8 the value. One woman lost her land over an $83 tax bill that she didn't pay because she didn't know about it. Again, these people don't have lawyers. They don't understand it. Another thing that's done is one member of the family can claim the land. And they, again, there's laws involved in doing this. And they claim it and they sell it to a developer. Now the developer has a claim. The developer goes to court. The developer pays the lawyer who puts in the claim in the court that goes to the judge. In other words, they're all in it together. And they steal this land. And this has been going on. How much land? Billions of dollars worth of land throughout the South. Billions of dollars worth of land. So these are black families that they're what they call land rich, money poor. They don't have the cash to hire lawyers. They don't have the money to fight these developers. They don't have the money to pay these artificially inflated taxes, etc., and they lose their land. This is what reparations are about. This is the type of shit that was done to black people after slavery. So when people say, I never owned a slave, no, you didn't own a slave. But the legacy of what was done to black people then still exists now. Imagine if you had land that you could borrow money against to send your kid to college. Imagine if you had land that you could divide up and develop yourself and put up a hotel or build a couple of houses. You see, that's what we're talking about here. There are a few organizations trying to help these people, but they're going to lose because you're going against big money. And remember, the lawyers and the courts work with the developers. That it's the deck is stacked. So look it up. It is very interesting. Ayers Property at how this has been done to, and this is going on today. Okay, so this is what happened. See, it used to be lynching. Now it's legal. That's how it's done. All right, enough of that. Enough crap. Enough. It's not all bad news. While I was gone, the Clippers got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. The NBA free agency, yeah, I know it's a big shift from Ayers Property to NBA free agency. What can I say? The league has shuffled. The Lakers are great again. Looks like they're going to be great again. And I'm happy for LeBron. Even though I'm a Clipper fan, I'm happy for LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Boogie. And, oh, man, it looks like they're going to have a team. Clippers are going to have a great team. Golden State isn't going to have a great team. They're going to have a good team. They're not going to have a great team. We'll see what happens with Kevin Durant once he heals. And so the point being that there's been big shuffle of players. Check local listings. You're really going to have to look to see where your team is, who's playing for who, this or that. I'll tell you, I am tired of the analysts. The analysts, with all of their, oh, he's going here, this is his reason, this is, you know what? NBA players are playing with their friends, and they're moving around trying to win championships, and they're, oh, it's not good that the player, yeah, let the players run their own destiny. Enough with that. I'm not going to go into the analysts, but analyzing, because if you watch ESPN, it's like watching E! Channel chase the Kardashians, or it's like watching a fan of the Real Housewives talk about who's banging who and who did the... It's just male gossip. That's all it is. It's male gossip. Yeah, there were some women involved too, but you know what I mean. That's all it is. I will say this, on the gossip level, Kyle Kuzma from the Lakers now seems to be banging Kendall Jenner. They just never learn. What is it with Kardashians and basketball players, or basketball players and Kardashians? So Kendall has moved from Blake Griffin to Ben Simmons to now it seems Kyle Kuzma. So she seems to like the swing man, the shooters, the scorers, as opposed to her sister Chloe, who seems to go for big men. She looked with Lamar Odom and Tristan Thompson, although Chloe did briefly hook up with James Harden, who's a prolific scorer. The Kardashians are building an all-star team. What can you do? I don't understand it, but whatever. I don't give a shit. It's funny for me. It's funny to watch. Okay, enough. I'm done. It's summertime. It's mid-July. I'm in Vegas. Temperatures are nice, balmy, 108 outside. I'm about to hit the strip, hang out. When I'm in Vegas, I shop and I eat. My two vices. Come to Vegas. Enjoy your vices. Enjoy your summer. Go somewhere or go nowhere. Do nothing or do something. It's summertime. Have a good time. Make it fun. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. I'm heading to Montreal next week. I will be at Just for Laughs. You know, I'm there every summer. My favorite thing in comedy, the biggest comedy festival in the world. Will I be recording a podcast from there? Yeah. Will I be recording my podcast from there? I doubt it. But you guys have been good to me, and you're listening, and you're supporting, and I appreciate it. I see more and more of you at my shows. I'm so thankful for that. Next month, I am back on tour. I'm getting out there. I'm going to be in Chicago, and I'm going to be in Tampa. And, you know, it's all good. It's all good. So I appreciate you. Thanks for listening. Who's paying attention? As always, you are, and I thank you.